course, that big story from yesterday, that 7+ magnitude earthquake in Taiwan, 9 people losing their lives there and all of those buildings damaged and some of the footage coming through, quite extraordinary. Joining us to cover all of that this morning is Associate Professor Iftikhar Ahmed. He is a leading expert in disaster resilience from the School of Architecture and Built Environment at the University of Newcastle. Iftikhar, thank you so much for your time. A lot of trouble getting all of that onto a business card, but thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark.
All right. Now, to give us a bit of an idea, we've sort of had an earthquake happens and it's quite shocking, but literally. But one of the biggest problems we find is, of course, buildings start to move and fall over and people get caught in those. And is that generally where we see most of the human carnage of folks in buildings?
Yes, most. But in the case of Taiwan, in this particular Kowloon city earthquake, a lot of people got trapped in quarries, actually, and as well as in tunnels. And some people were actually lost. 50 or so people were lost in the national park when they were out on a minibus on an excursion. So, yeah, but buildings, of course, that's the most lethal side of earthquakes, and they can collapse and kill people, especially if the buildings aren't constructed properly.
In a general sense, are we getting better at building better buildings? In terms of earthquake and other ways they need to be resilient?
Well, it depends on the context, though. Let me just talk about Taiwan quickly. With Taiwan, though, they had a massive earthquake, the last big one. Hualien City also had an earthquake in 2018. But let me go back to the last major one, the Qixi earthquake, 1999. So more than 50,000 buildings destroyed, more than 2,000 people died, more than 100,000 people injured, about the same magnitude as yesterday's earthquake in Hualien City. So, but this time, only 9 people died and approximately 100 structures were damaged or destroyed, only 15 really destroyed. And so you see, there has been a change, and that is because of the lessons that the government took on board, because of the public outcry as well, that they had to do something. So they started a new Disaster Prevention Protection Act after the earthquake, and they have massive, you know, public education and awareness campaigns. Building codes were improved. There's a seismological network in place. So they've taken all kinds of measures. So what you see is that 9 people died. It could have been much worse. I mean, 7.4, whatever the estimate is, varying estimates, but approximately if we say it's between 7.2 to 7.4, it's a very high magnitude earthquake. So you could have seen much worse damage. And just to give a comparison, last year they had the massive earthquake in Turkey, Syria, and you can imagine the amount of damage, the huge number of buildings, more than 54,000 people perished. And you see the difference simply because even though they had massive, very strong building codes, but they couldn't enforce it. There was all kinds of corruption going on. So,
you see the difference. That's a point, isn't it? I mean, when we look at sort of other parts around the world, it's one thing to have a code, but if it's not getting enforced, it becomes a piece of paper and not much more. So I guess in that general sense, we are getting better at building more resilient structures. What does that actually look like? I mean, what is better about, and we're seeing it in the numbers that you mentioned, if the car, because like you said, there's previous earthquakes, many buildings came down versus a few. So in a structural sense, without probably going into a lot of technical detail, what actually makes a building better and more survivable?
I won't go into the technical details of the structural part of things. There are certain ways of making buildings that follow. The main idea behind making buildings is the technical term called ductility. That's the ability to move without bending or having a fracture or collapse. Okay, I'm just stating it in a very simple term.
Sure, of course.
But that ductility, having ductility in buildings allows it to flex and in earthquakes without being brittle and collapsing. So that is the basic idea, which means that you have to introduce a lot of reinforcement, rebars, steel reinforcements, which allow you that ductility. Whereas if it's too much concrete and monolithic type of construction, bricks and others, then obviously that doesn't have much flexibility and collapses. So that's a very basic principle that I gave you. Of course, the base has to be isolated from the ground. There's a base isolation technique so that the building can shake without, you know, the foundations anchoring it and making the top topple. So, yeah, but one thing I just want to very quickly touch on, you know, you may ask, Mark, why did those buildings collapse then if they had good building codes? And the issue with building codes is that the new ones can be built up to code, but what about the older ones, the existing buildings? Even though the Taiwanese government offers subsidies to people to improve the existing buildings, but that comes at quite a heavy cost. So, which is called retrofitting. Sorry, I'm introducing all these technical terms, but you know, you just go in and fix up those buildings. But that can be very expensive. Some of these buildings are older stock, and that is why that happened. Just to give you a comparison, in Hualien, in the same city, in 2018, there was also an earthquake, and only one building collapsed, and which was actually a historical hotel. So, and that was not of such a high magnitude, but pretty high, and a lot of people were affected, and 17 people were killed in that case. But only one building collapsed simply because they had implemented the codes. But it's very hard to take care of the old building stock. So that is where the crunch is, really.
Yeah, that's the trick, isn't it? I mean, like you said, if there are ways to retrofit a building to make it a little bit more resilient, but the cost of doing that versus getting rid of it and putting a whole new building up versus just having the fingers crossed and doing nothing, I think that's where we might be at with some of those older ones. Anyway, that's an interesting insight into how it all works, and indeed what we saw over the last couple of days versus some more recent examples where the loss of life and loss of structure was so much more impactive than this one. Associate Professor Iftikhar Ahmed from the University of Newcastle, appreciate your time and thanks for stopping by. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Mark. You too. Bye.